Deadlines, exams, constant pressure. Stress can feel like it's everywhere, but staying calm doesn't have to be impossible. Really Calm can help relieve feelings of stress by inducing a relaxing effect without drowsiness. Fast acting within 30 minutes. It's calm when you need it most. Stay calm. Stay you. Choose Really Calm, because your peace of mind matters. Visit reallycalm.co.za for more.
Hey everybody, Luyolo Mkhalipi here, SABC Sports presenter. You're listening to Extra Time on Madiba's Radio. Madiba's
Radio. It is another episode of Extra Time, Raja on Madiba's Radio podcast. And today, I'm very excited because I'm not doing the show with somebody else, but I'm doing the show with the person that I'm supposed to be doing the show with, but who left me for good, how many weeks?
Four.
Yo, that's a month. Everybody, welcome back, Reborn!
Hey! What's up, Madiba's fam? It's another week, it's another episode right here on Madiba's Radio Podcast. And you're listening to Extra Time, Kalibitsa ke Rebone Chabane. And like Sam said, I'm back!
Hey, Rebone couldn't wait, guys, to come back. Immediately when she got back, she's like, Sam, recording with me next week. I was like, yo, I get. And as always, this week, we bring you all the sports news. My name is Sam Gelek, and I'm very excited to be talking everything sports with Rebone, like how we used to do in the good old days.
Good old days was 4 weeks ago, by the way.
But Rebone, even when you were still here, we're not recording together.
Yeah.
So we didn't only be like once
every two, 3 weeks.
Hey, so we've got a full show right here for you with everything that has been happening. We were very excited to be part of the Madiba's Campus Sports League. So immediately when Rebone came back,
I came back and they put me on site. They were like, you're back, go and work.
So that's what
grab the mic.
That's what we have been doing pretty much for the whole year before she left me for 4 weeks. And
for good reason, though.
For good reason. Yeah, I can't wait, actually. So immediately when she came back, we were wrapping up the score, Madiba's Campus Sports League. How was that? Besides the thing is that I was reported immediately when I went back to office.
No, it was fun. I think one of my biggest takeaways being back on Saturday was that I could finally feel like I was in control.
Yeah.
Because the last 4 weeks, I have not been in control of the things that were happening. Exactly. So it finally felt good to know that I have a sense of control in what's going on. And I'm like, I'm back in my own space, in my own little bubble where I can do things not necessarily on my time but on a time that is familiar to me,
because
I just came back from an unplanned, unscripted, no set schedule,
a mess of a thing.
It wasn't a mess though. Traumatic.
A good mess.
Yes, but it was great.
A good mess. What was your favorite game on the campus league from the, because you were pretty much on football and rugby, specific match maybe?
I didn't watch the football because the commentators were
okay. Yeah,
and that's when I decided to take my lunch break.
But there was also one football game, so I actually don't even remember.
So with the rugby, there was two actually.
Which one did you? Okay,
I think the one I enjoyed the most was the final because it was so tough in the beginning.
Okay,
I think they were like 25 minutes in and the score was still at zero.
I didn't even watch the final like that.
I was
until
like,
the second half.
This is tough. Like, Claude is really giving phase three a run
and
for
I
their
thought
money.
Claude was going to be easy. Like, when I was throughout the week.
If they were easy, why would they be in the final? Exactly.
Well,
that's what you get for undermining other people's teams.
Well, phase three won, guys, just to put it out there.
Yes, but it took them really long to get
good
to the points that they got. Because with the third and fourth playoff game, the the North Gods did not put up a fight.
They did not.
I think the final score for them was 7. And for the underdogs, it was like 30-something, 40.
It was 40-something.
So for them, it was kind of like an easy win. And then watching the final and being like, okay, now this is, they're not letting anyone, like, no one wants the other person to win.
Yeah.
So it was, like, it stayed literally in the middle.
I was happy, though, because
it
that's how the final was supposed to be. As much as I thought Claude was easy, but they had to make Faced we run for their money.
And they did. They gave them a run for their money. They had to lock in, especially in the second half. That's when they started locking in, because then they started catching up. I think at some point the score was like 15-10.
Yay. And I was like, yay, what's going on here? Because last time, Claude Cavani won against Faced We.
I heard. Was it 11-12?
Yeah, I think it was 11-12. It was so crazy. It was really giving the UWC and
Madivas game,
because they literally scored the try when the game was over. I was like, oh, flip.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
So both our teams were playing. Well, two of your teams were playing yesterday. Orlando Pirates
and Liverpool.
But Siwelele FC was also playing KZG.
Yeah, What do you mean? Says
you left here as a Siwelele fan.
I didn't say
the song.
I left as a fan. I just said I was excited to see their journey.
Well, their journey is actually going quite well, because they also made KZG Chiefs run for their money yesterday.
As they should.
And the final score was 0-0. Let me not talk about Kaizer Chiefs.
Why?
But leading to the Pirates game that they were playing yesterday, three of their players had injuries, and it's actually, you know, one of their best players, Mofokeng, Van Rooyen, and Oki. They had injuries just before, I think when they were playing in the DRC. So the team was very skeptical whether to have Mofokeng playing against the Polokwane City. I'm not sure if he ended up playing, but I really hope, man, he recovers from whatever injury that he got, because, I mean, he's one of the star players for Orlando Pirates. But congratulations to Orlando Pirates for the 1-0 win against Polokwane City FC.
Moving on to cricket, Kagiso Rabada smashes a brilliant maiden test half century to push Proteas past 400. The Proteas lower order have been produced a miraculous comeback to steer the visitors into the lead at tee on the third day of the second test against Pakistan in Raw. Where? Rawalpindi.
Where is it?
I'm sorry,
is it in Pakistan?
Yes.
But every time I see Kagiso Rabada, I think of the recreational.
This is why people can't move on. You need to move on past that, because
think of it.
No, why?
For some reason, shame. I hope he's better now.
He is, because look at him. He's producing with Mutha Samay holding it all together from one end. It allowed Maharaj and the brilliant Rabada to take attack to Pakistan. Maharaj added 71 runs for the ninth wicket with Mutha Samay before the former fell on his sword to be stumped on an invaluable 30. But it was Rabada that delivered arguably the performance of the series with a swashbuckling 71 off just 60 balls, as the Proteas' last pair added 98 runs to take their team against Pakistan's 333 all out. In fact, by the time Rabada, who now holds the record for the highest score by a South African, number 11, was eventually caught in the deep off as the debutant's sixth wicket of the innings, the Proteas moved to a 404 and a lead of 71. Rabada provided royal entertainment during his stay at crease, particularly during one Shah over when he elegantly struck the left arm pace bowler with a full face of the bat over his head for a towering six before unleashing another glorious covered drive. Even Shaheen could appreciate the beauty of his fellow fast bowler strokes by nodding his approval. Rabada also struck further maximum off spinners Aga and Khan, and it helped him to his maiden test half century, eclipsing his previous career best of 47. Mathamsi, although, should be commended for his classy innings, as he mixed patience with aggression that has given his side a real chance of leveling the series. Pakistan's frustration heightened with every run, and now face a challenge to firstly draw the Parkley before settling the Proteas a target.
Now, the SuperSport documentary Chasing the Sun 2 earns an Emmy nomination.
I saw that. I haven't watched Chasing the Sun 2.
Same. Okay, even one.
No, I watched one. I just never the chance to watch two. One was amazing. I think my favorite was I'm not sure if it's episode 4 or episode 5, but that's when they told the story of Mapimpi.
Okay, I'm still in episode 1.
Oh, so you decided to open it up.
I was like, actually, let me start watching it. I'm still in episode 1. I'm enjoying the start. Hey, I'm very outdated, hey, because, I mean, when was it?
2019.
Hectic. Yay. And 2? 2024.
I mean, because Chasing the Sun 1 was about 2019's World Cup. And then Chasing the Sun 2 was about the 2023 Rugby World Cup.
Okay, I'll catch up. Now, Super Sports has announced that its critically acclaimed documentary series, Chasing the Sun 2, has been nominated for an International Emmy Award in the category of Best Sports Documentary. This Emmy nomination arrives as the perfect milestone to crown Super Sports' 30th year as a standalone channel.
Yep. Hey, 30 years, 15 years of Zanzi Magic, 30 years of Super Sport. Listen, I'll tell you later what that 30 years meant to me.
Am I invited? Yay!
I'll tell you what that 30 years meant to me.
Now, aiming to reaffirm its legacy as the undisputed world of champions in the storytelling, the nominations for the 2025 International Emmy Award are announced by the International Academy of Television, Arts and Sciences, recognizing 64 nominees across 16 categories from a record number of 26 countries, including South Africa. Now, Chasing the Sun 2 competes against a strong field, including Argentina, 1978, on Disney Plus, Original Productions, and Pampa Films, and it's all over The Kiss That Changed the Spanish Football by You First Originals. Now, all nominees gather in New York at the International Emmy World Television Festival from the 21st to the 23rd of November, with the winners being unveiled on Monday, the 24th of November. The Super Sports original documentary features never-before-seen footage, interviews with more than 30 players and coaches, and all the highlights from the team's campaign, from a first-game defeat to winning the final. The documentary is directed by and executive produced by Gareth and produced by T plus W for Supersport. This marks their second International Emmy nomination in 3 years. It is led by Rusty Erasmus, director of rugby, and Jacques Nenebia. The series aims to capture the intensity and bold decisions that defined the team, including the innovative 7-1 bench split and the final against All Blacks at the in the past few years, actually. Hey, I was telling you that I was watching the first episode. Hey, All Blacks used to trap us, hey?
I mean, they trapped us now recently.
Yeah, but that wasn't bad. Hey,
at Eden Park, but then again, it's Eden Park, so we can't really... We go into Eden Park with our heads down because we know.
Yeah, we know what goes down there. Wait, did we win the second match against them at Eden Park?
No. It was in Twickenham. Yes. Okay, no, it wasn't. Twickenham or Wellington.
What goes down at Eden Park?
So at Eden Park is the home
for New Zealand
of the All Blacks.
Hectic.
We haven't won against the All Blacks, I think, in 34 years at Eden Park.
Yay.
And that was the one time that Jesse Creel was the captain. And then the following week was the Freedom Cup. And I think, I'm not sure if it was Wellington or if it was in Twickenham, but I think it was in Wellington. And that's when we won 43-10 and then kept the Freedom Cup.
Probably all other teams now at Varsity Shield, they think our Eden Park is our stadium because nobody has won. Okay, they have. But I mean, this year, so we have our own Eden Park. So basically, I was watching it. There was a time where... I'm not sure if it was Argentina or the All Blacks. Abbas Shayakona, the score was literally nil for Springboks. And their score was like 43. I was like, what?
Khwairala. Like, genuinely. But the thing is, that's the thing with the Springboks. We need to lose a group stage game
before we
come for the win. That's always, we did it as well in 2023. I'm not even going to guess. They told us where I come from, don't make things up. So I'm not even going to guess. But I know there was a group stage that we lost in the final. Not in the final, one of the group stages game. So that's when I was like, ish. But that's always what happens. Moving on to Formula One. I've also started falling in love with Formula One.
I saw. I saw.
How did you see?
I thought you posted something about F1.
Leave the F1 before the F1 leaves you, because the game is gone.
What's going on there?
So Oscar Pistorio was a heavy favorite to become the F1 world champion in 2025 at the end of August, following a flawless performance at the Dutch Grand Prix. But a run of underwhelming results have brought Lando Norris and Max Verstappen right back into the title race. Pistorio led the Drivers' Championship by 34 points over Norris and 104 points from Verstappen just 5 rounds ago. Now his advantage has been cut to 14 points to Norris and 40 to Verstappen. Ahead of this weekend's Mexico City Grand Prix, the Australian is still in the best position of the title protagonist, but the manner his championship advantage has dwindled will be a concern. So what
Who's
has
your favorite?
Gone wrong?
Max knew it.
No, there's this other person. Oh, I can't even name drop. I'll say for now,
okay,
Lando Norris.
Okay.
And then Lewis Hamilton, obviously, because
who doesn't like Lewis Hamilton?
Exactly. So we'll keep it at that for now.
While we're still celebrating our Bafana Bafana qualifying to qualifying for the FIFA World Cup 2026, Ria, more America.
Ria, more stating.
We are going to the States. I don't think we got to celebrate that here on Extra Time, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah,
that
I think
World
we didn't.
Cup qualifier game.
Yeah. Congratulations to Bafana Bafana. Now, Banyana Banyana was also held by the DRC and the WAFCON first leg qualifier. Banyana Banyana drew 1-1 in the first leg of the 2026 Women's Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against the Democratic Republic of Congo in Kinshasa on Wednesday evening. A first half strike by Mohlokwana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I mean, Akia, more free state.
You're getting there.
The strike was handed South Africa the advantage heading into the next week's second leg clash at the FNB Stadium as they managed to secure the all-important away goal. As South Africa continued to celebrate Bafana Bafana's recent qualification for the 2026 FIFA World Cup, another major footballing milestone has come into focus. This time, it is for Banyana Banyana. Yay. Imagine if Banyana Banyana also qualifies. Yay.
We'll be so up. Like, we're already up right now.
Yeah.
And the World Cup hasn't even started.
Imagine.
And we're already like.
And now there's WAFCON as well.
And AFCON in December.
Yay.
There's so much. This is why we say it's, the sports world is a sport that never sleeps. Because
that's
December, Betway 20 starts. It's currently URC. It's Betway Premiership. It's knockout, calling knockout. Then we're going to start, like, because Betway is like from December until January, February, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably February, maybe.
And then.
It's quite long.
We go back into varsity rugby. That's going to start again.
Hey,
then
soon,
it's the World Cup.
The data even out. I was like, what's the rush?
Where's the fire?
The former continental champions are looking to secure their place in yet another WAFCON tournament with only the DRC standing in their way. However, the build-up to this crucial qualifier was far from ideal. The national team has been navigating a period of uncertainty in recent months, and their WAFCON campaign earlier this year ended in heartbreak with a 2-1 semi-final loss to Nigeria. Worryingly, the issues unplugged them then seem to have followed them into this new qualifying campaign. Once again, the team finds itself unsettled at the crucial moment, this time without head coach Desiree Ellis, who remains in the boardroom as contract negotiations with the South African Football Association continue. In her absence, assistant coach Tina Sonke Muli stepped in to lead the side for the first leg at the Pentecost Matsi's Stadium in Kinshasa. Speaking of SAFA, what do you think about this whole thing?
I'm gonna have thoughts.
You have to have thoughts because it's worrying me so much. Well, not anymore because we've now qualified for the 2026.
The 3-point exclusion.
Yes.
I don't know. I saw a tweet that said, you're telling me no one. No one at SAFA knew that Tebogo was not eligible.
That's what I'm saying as well, because they send their team list, probably a week before.
And no one
picked it up. And we were supposed to suffer.
Yo, and we suffered. Like, we really did suffer.
It's like, do you know how
much, do you know how much math had to be put into this game? We really had to sit and be like, we need to win by 3 points against, we need to beat Zimbabwe. Then the Zimbabwe game happened, and then everyone started losing hope.
It's like
people lost hope after the Zimbabwe game.
It's like you started, and then they started
blaming Benin. They're like, "This is," and it is Benin's fault because they were the ones that made it known. They went there on their Twitter and they tagged. And they were like, "But let's consider suspended players in this game." I was like, "What?" And now you're not even going to the World Cup.
Studying for an exam, and you need 80% to pass. That's how it felt like, and you need to. I don't know.
Mind you, you had the DP.
You had the DP. I wish Usafa also suffered consequences like us. Because what do you mean? We nearly didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Because of such a silly...
Imagine.
Silly.
If Nigeria and Jaya Veleyati as in Andizi.
Yeah.
I'm still very hurt. But okay, we move.
But now it's for them to fight each other in those group games that are coming as well for Nigeria and them. Like, there's going to be a mini tournament
before the
World Cup for World Cup. One team to qualify. That's not our problem, child. So Adidas released an advert for,
really?
They're partner back with, not World
with
Cup.
With FIFA?
No, with South Africa.
Oh, with... Oh,
I thought you... No, like Adidas is back on board.
Really?
With, after 15 years, I think the last time that they were partnered with South Africa was during the 2010 FIFA World Cup.
Hey, it's been 15 years, really.
It went to another brand. I don't know how to say the brand, that's the thing. The one with the...
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
But now we're back on Adidas' radar, and Relebohile is the face
of the... So we'll be wearing Adidas the whole time now.
Ciao.
Whatever
designs they're going to come up with need to be proper.
But I think Adidas... Wait, who did Beyonce work with her...
Adidas.
Ivy Park, I can trust them to deliver because, I mean, they did with...
So but someone released a picture of the last jerseys that Adidas had released for South Africa from the 90s to the 2000s until 2010. And then people were like, we need to let go of the green and yellow.
So what do they want now?
You know how the Springboks official jersey color is green and then it has the yellow highlights.
Yes.
And then for Bafana, it's more so... Yellow with the green highlight, and then for the cricket is white. Sometimes, like the official national is white, but then they also do wear the full green with the yellow highlights. Like the woman currently at we didn't speak about the woman, and they're doing so well.
They are, I think in South Africa, like young NJ, all our sports,
you wake up a winner in South Africa.
We are winners. We are the champions.
We wake up a winner, and like cricket gamers, but I'm just glad that in this Cricket World Cup, for three times against India, and they've never beaten us.
I don't think Basa Zosbamba food. Like,
no.
It's too late now.
When I tell you about Nadine de Klerk, she literally changed the trajectory of that game.
Well, I didn't watch the game.
Because I don't think you watch. Do you even watch cricket?
I watched highlight this morning.
Of what game?
It was the one that was in Pakistan. So I did report. I was watching the news.
The one that was in Pakistan.
I did.
Kanti, where do you think?
It was the Proteas game. So I was like, you know, most news, morning live, they just highlight her in there. But I do catch up on cricket sometimes.
But the next game is on the 25th of October against Australia. So that's interesting.
What, 25th?
In 2 days.
Okay, that's on Saturday. Yes.
Yes, it's on Saturday. Sunday the 26th. Sunday the 26th. I'm so scared.
You can never miss the date. And that's how we come to the end of our Extra Time show, Raja on Madiba's radio podcast. Where can people find you, Ribone?
They're going to want to find me. You can find me on my social media at Robona Chobane on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, And let's engage with my social media posts. Something big is coming. You don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. You can also find me on samgela_m. You can also find whatever is happening on my socials on Sunday.
We will be there.
samgela_m on Facebook. It is samgela_cele. Instagram, samgela_m. TikTok, samgela_m. And on X.
And of course, you can follow and engage. You can connect, inform, and engage with us on our social media at Madiba's Radio on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, as well as X. That's where we share everything that is taking place at the radio station, from different shows to interviews. Campaigns. Someone asked us, Tepa actually asked us why we haven't had interviews this year. We never said we don't. We started off our year with an interview with Juicy J.
Was that this year?
That's how long this year has been. We literally started the year with Juicy J, and that's when we...
We're launching Varsity Shield, I think.
Varsity Shield. Yeah. But that's when we were still live.
Yes.
And then we stopped being live and went podcast. And in going podcast, we had to make a couple of adjustments because we had to make sure that our... And this was once a week from a show that was airing twice a week to once a week.
And it's very hard to squeeze in everything.
And everyone. Remember, we have a big team. Yeah. And also, congratulations to our team.
Congratulations to Extra Time
for receiving the Best Show Award again at the Madiba's Radio Awards 2025. I missed that. Also, congratulations to Sam, to Lolonga, to Tiamo, Bonginkosi, and Reese. They all received, and Ibanati, they all received Sports Personality of the Year. And then Ibanati and Tiamo received Top Producers for the year.
The stories that you guys have been getting.
And Bonginkosi received Best Newcomer, and ending it off with the queen of everybody,
top
with Top Presenter of the Year 2025. But yeah, it's been a really good year for us. With no interviews, we managed to pull off
just purely us and the talent.
And the talent and the fact that... And it wouldn't have been possible without you, because you're the ones that tune in.
Exactly.
You tune in, you give us those numbers, you put us up.
Yeah, and we have the... listenership.
Best in the game. Signing out, girl. We will see you next week for what may be the last episode for the year. It's been a long year. I can't believe I come back and I have two episodes left already, and it's chai for me. Crazy. But this is Extra Time on Madiba's Radio Podcast.
So next week.
Oh yes, I like Madiba's
Radio. Hello. Welcome to yet another banger podcast with the Call Out Podcast here on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform, and most definitely engage with you. I go by the name of Karabu Daniels, also known as KD. And you know that I never ride solo. Who am I with here today?
Always, my beautiful people. It's your guy, Uvuyisa Nanwagonom Chacho, your daily dose of sugar, but don't take me in too many doses, because you might have diabetes. Mm-hmm. You know what it is. I'm excited about today's episode. I'm excited to talk to you guys. Ninjani, how's everybody doing at home? Text us on the social media platforms and just hit us up. And let's connect and inform each other and engage with each other.
Yes,
beautiful
people.
What's happening? How are you, girl?
I'm good. Thank you so much for asking. How are you?
How you weren't here last week? What happened? I heard you were writing these exams and whatnot. These tests.
These tests are driving me insane. Yes, I was writing quite a number of tests last week. And yeah, but other than that, I'm happy that I'm out of that tunnel of tests right now. As we know that we are preparing for our final examinations, so it's tough. I won't lie and say it's not tough. It's definitely tough. But we have to pull through either way.
Is this after this after that after that after that?
How are you though?
Me, I've been good. I've been good. Just a little sick. I've just had chest pains and whatnot. A dry chest. Need to drink some water, take care of myself, took a walk on Sunday, took a walk to the beach, brought my guitar along, meditated and just chilled.
Do you enjoy spending time alone?
I love it so much. I love being quiet so much. Yo. I, ironically, as a radio host, I don't like talking.
So ironic. So ironic.
I don't like talking. I like listening. I like, that's why I like people. I like very much listening to people. But then I found
you would make like a great therapist.
Really?
Since you like listening.
Eish. I don't like too many nagis. That's the problem.
They overwhelm you.
I don't want to make people's problems my problems.
No, I get that.
So, yeah, that's that. But I'm pretty sure we have so many things to talk about in our conversations today. First off, I want us to acknowledge Uminente and to just also just bring into light that there's a petition that's flying around out there, and we encourage everybody to go sign that petition for Uminente, because long since we've been letting GBV and femicide take over South Africa, we want to make sure that everybody's actually informed.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you've seen that a petition in your statuses.
Yes, definitely.
Don't just pass by. Actually take the time and sign that petition so that another Uminente doesn't get killed, so that the police actually hear our voices, the government actually hears our voices, and that people, and that this murder actually gets solved, you know? It's very early in the morning on our side, as you can probably hear from our somber energies.
Yes.
It's it, guys, we are also trying.
We're also trying to keep you guys entertained, studying as well. So, ish, doing everything, it's tough, but we have to pull through for the people.
Yeah. Definitely. So, just again, guys, make sure you guys are signing the petition. Akarabo, what's happening on your side? What do you have?
So, on my side, I have actually a murder case, you know. Two teenagers killed, five injured in a suspected gang shooting in Westbury. Do you perhaps know anything about that?
Not really, but I heard it on the news. I don't know anything about the actual details of the murder, what it is that actually happened.
So a devastating gang-related shooting occurred in Westbury, Johannesburg, on Tuesday, leaving two teenagers dead and five others injured. Mm. The victims, aged between 13 and 19, were allegedly targeted by a rival gang. According to the police, the incident happened when a group of teenagers were confronted by four suspects on foot, three of whom were armed. And the attackers opened fire without warning, fleeing the scene immediately after. The injured victims were rushed to a nearby hospital for treatment, where two were pronounced dead on arrival. You know, it's so painful, Vuisanani, because I don't know if you heard me. I said people aged 13 to 19, those are young people. You're not even in high school yet. Mm-hmm. And you are going through this.
And your life is already taken away
exactly.
from you.
Exactly. What does this tell us about our country? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves.
Before you can even get the chance to like dream, to see things, to make your own understanding, because as a little 13-year-old, you know, you basically know nothing. You think you know a lot of things, but you actually just know nothing. You're in like what, grade 7, grade 8, and your life is taken away. It's just I think it's a remembrance to the deep struggles and the deep pain that goes on in South Africa with lawlessness that takes over certain parts. But what is the investigation? What was the reaction of the community around? What happened?
So after that happened, right, the provincial anti-gang unit supported by the South African Police Services, Forensic Services and District Crime Intelligence, rather, launched a full-scale investigation into the incident. Gauteng Police spokesperson Ubrenda urged anyone with information to come forward, also emphasizing that even the smallest detail could be crucial in preventing further bloodshed. And also, the Gauteng Deputy Police Commissioner, or Major General Fred Kekana, confirmed that three of the four suspects are known to the police and their identities have been established.
Mm.
My question is that they know the person's identity, but what are they doing about it?
Mm.
You know, okay, Sayaz, okay, then what? When are these people getting arrested? Because this is murder. You know?
It's always been like that in South Africa. It's always going to be a matter of like, we know about what's happening. We know that this thing is happening. We know who the people are. But then effective action hardly gets taken. And to just what's crazy to me is that, like, I was actually writing an article about this. It's almost like it's actually connected to a segment that I wanted to do.
Okay.
But I'm just going to intertwine it with this one, because the reason why youth, why violence is so prevalent within the youth people is that because of the youth unemployment and lack of opportunity, many young people are lack jobs, training, or good education. For example, youth unemployment rates stands at a chilling 74.7% in some surveys. You know, without legitimate pathways, some youth drift into crimes or violent behavior as an alternative. So there's two sides to this coin. The fact that government is not being effective as it can be in order to help the youth, but then also the youth is choosing to go down very violent paths, and it's not helping anyone.
Yeah.
In anything. So, in the matter of basis, it's like no one is actually going to be effective, you know. Those kids who are murdered on the streets, we're going to hear another story like that in the next 2 months.
We're going to
hear another story like that in the next 3 months. And consistently, we hear all of these stories and nothing is actually done about it.
That is exactly what I'm saying. You know, the police say, okay, stuff like this will not happen again in the near future, but we find ourselves in the very same situations or positions that we were in the past. You know, it's so sad. It's so sad. And I really hope that, you know, the South African police services can, like, ban your cigars, you know, and just do something for our country, because the GBV, rape, and murder cases are getting out of control. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is so crazy. And, you know, it hits more when it happens to someone you know. It hits more when it happens to someone that is around you, someone that you know, a family member, a friend, you know. It really hits more, and it's just so sad. It's so sad. Has anything of this sort happened to maybe you or a family member? Anything of GBV,
never,
murder?
I hope not ever. But you've heard the stories, you know. It's like, hey, somebody got shot down the street, and it's like, what? Why? Like, somebody got this and that. And myself, I've been robbed a couple of times, gunpoint. But like,
don't lie.
I'm serious.
How was that experience for you?
It was crazy. It was insane, actually. But then, it really gives you an eye opener about what life is, and like the passivity of life. How life can really be gone in an instant. Like, it's not a joke, that thing when they say that, hey, your life can be gone in an instant. It's very, 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 very true. Very true. How about you? Have you ever experienced such?
Please don't laugh at me, because this is very serious to me. The first time I ever got mugged was when I was in high school. And so Lomdu was coming behind me, right? And then my friends are like, someone dodgy is coming. And my back is faced behind the person. So my friends are standing opposite me so they can see whoever's coming behind me. So I have my back turned against this person. And then they're like, this person looks dodgy. Please hide your phone. Mind you, it was my first time having an iPhone. I was in grade 9. Ben albani iPhone. Ben iPhone 6, I think. Yeah, boom. And then Gengoku, wafika nyan lumtu. Wati kupani phone. Sapani mali. So I'm just standing there, like I'm literally frozen. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Uti kupani tikona. And yes, yo, wakupa. Wati, like, wasonde lisa inde shabayo up by my rib. Ya bonga hip by yashablen news and shabalo putune mail. Damnika iphone yam sana watata ikwant o yam necho mizam. All to find out, when we find out after school, sendi roche weke pof. Kutu andi roche nge bread knife.
I'm on me, am I?
Please don't laugh, because this is so serious. Like, I'm being dead serious right now. And that still haunts me till this day, that I gave away my new iPhone.
Get bread knife. That hurts.
I don't know, like, it's still a mystery, actually. I don't know if it was true, but Lamdu was robbing a bread knife or what.
And being put in a situation, you can't even say that be a bread knife or anything like that, because you were the one who was in the situation. And it's actually funny because I remember the first time that I got robbed, actually. Talk about embarrassing stories. I'm going to air this one out.
Ooh, let's hear.
The first time I got robbed, it was like, it was not even far from my house. I won't even lie. Like, the first, like, I got robbed in my street.
Don't lie.
Who gets robbed?
In their street.
In their street. Like, I could see my house while being robbed. And the funny part is that, like, as I think I've said this, I think I've mentioned it before on the show, but then, like, when I was younger, I didn't have a voice. So I couldn't really speak in a loud voice or anything like that. I couldn't actually scream.
Okay.
So I couldn't actually do anything. So now these guys pull up to me, like four guys. They put me down. Boom, 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 boom. Everything happens so fast. Fine, they rob me. But then
did you scream?
I couldn't. I didn't. I fought back, but I couldn't. I didn't scream.
Be honest. This is a safe space.
No, I didn't. Honestly, I didn't. I didn't shout, but help, because I can't.
Help.
Because I didn't really have a voice. And then the thing is, that was the part of the joke when we got to school, because everybody knows, like, that's how I speak. So I go back.
Didn't have a voice, like, literally.
Yeah, literally. That's how I spoke.
Oh.
Yeah. I just, like, It was
really, interesting.
I swear. So, okay, fine. My mom tells my teacher, imagine. And my teacher calls me out in front of the class. Ooh. And she's like, hey, Nomchacho, I heard you got robbed in front of your house. Like, what?
She called you out in front of the whole class.
Everybody was laughing.
Imagine.
How do you get robbed in front of your house? Blah, 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 blah. He couldn't speak. He couldn't shout. He couldn't shout for help. Bro, how do you get robbed in front of your house? So it was, still traumatized. Shout out to Memal Kasi, though. I love her. Still love her. Mm. But, I did me dirty that day.
So, do you think Lomdu... Okay, did you see the person's identity? Was it a young person, an elderly person?
It was four... older dudes. It was four older dudes. They weren't even that, because I was, at the time, I think I was in grade 6, so I was 12, and they were around 18, 17.
Oh, so 19. Youth ababantu.
Yeah, youth. We found them the next day.
Really?
But you get mass, your refresh, and a chinja, I'm cutting.
Don't lie to me now. That's a teeny one.
That's a teeny look.
That is so crazy.
Swear.
So, in the topic of youth, I believe you have something for us related to that. Uh-huh. Crime and youth. How do the two correlate? Tell us more about that.
So, I just wanted to really dive into the causes of actually why the youth is so prevalent, crime is so prevalent in the youth. It's because, like, the youth is so exposed to violent culture. Studies show that youth are often exposed to violence early in life through family violence, community violence, gang violence. This exposure can normalize violence or make it seem as a way to solve conflict or gain status. And what this means is that, basically, the youth faces violence all around them. You can't really escape it if umalume wakho unegun and he makes that thing looks cool, but to have a gun, or you have a next door neighbor who's doing gangsterism, he makes that thing look good or whatever. And it's not even a matter of making it look good, because when you could think to yourself that it bad, Louis, but that doesn't mean you're not exposed.
Yeah,
to
you
it.
Think it's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
This is how to live.
Exactly. And really poor socioeconomic and neighborhood conditions. Many young people live in informal settlements, overcrowded neighborhoods with weak services and policing. These environments can increase risk of violent crime. Inequality and the legacy of past structural disadvantages contribute to frustration, marginalization, and crime. You know, it's like there are still echoes of inequality, and that inequality causes us to not actually live in a matter that we should be living. And then there's the weak justice response that I was talking about. When murders are poorly investigated or perpetrators feel they face little consequences, the deterrence weakens. The deterrence to actually commit another murder. That robbers rob because they know that cops won't
do anything about it. Because most of the robbers don't even get arrested.
Exactly.
They probably spend like 2 days, in jail. They don't even actually go to the actual prison. Mm-hmm. And also I think this is what makes people not be afraid to do crime. Abanda boyiki ukwenza crime because by asba, oh, okay, wait, indonje, yabo. Indonje, like, ndizawufumana, like, little... Also, murdered. Nowadays, you can spend 15 years in jail. Did you know that?
Yeah, but then that 15 years isn't really even 15 years. Really? Apparently. Yeah, apparently, they calculated in a matter of, like, if it's 15 years, well, one day in us is 2 days in prison. So they calculate 12 a.m. to 12 p.m., 12 p.m. to 12
a.m. So they end up staying longer?
No, they end up staying less. Because if you have 365 days in prison, that 365 days divided by 2.
So they spend half of it.
They spend half of it because 1 day for us is 2 days in prison. Which makes sense because they're in prison.
No, yeah. You must be like, sana, I punishment lena, ako yango kono acho.
And like, there's so much parole and all of those things. I don't think that the prison system actually gives people the fear of not committing crime again, or it just makes them commit more crime in prison and when they get outside of prison. I know you have some key factors and data when it comes to murders and everything, but I want us to also talk about the fact that leading cause of death for youth via interpersonal violence. That just shows that the age group of 15 to 24 or 15 to 35, a large portion of non-natural deaths are homicides. So 15 to 24, a lot of these kids that are dying between 15 and 24, they're not dying because of anything natural, but it's because of what? Of murders and actually being killed. So what are the key effects and data that show with youth violence and crime rates?
So between April 2024 to March 2025, nearly 273 children under 18 years old were murdered in South Africa. That's almost 3 children per day. And the most common causes of murder in South Africa are arguments, misunderstanding, road rage, provocation, and the top on that list is robberies and gang-related murders. And young males 15 to 54 bear the greatest burden of violent death. For example, a study found male murder victims aged 15 to 44 were more higher than female victims.
That is wild.
And you know, I feel like people need to work on their anger issues because I'm sure you've heard me mention about road rage as well. Because I once saw a video trending, but it was back then on Facebook. I saw it on my mom's phone. I think it was in like grade 7 or something. So this car is overtaking Lono Taxi. You know how taxi drivers drive most, they just stop wherever they want to stop.
It's their rules, their road.
Exactly.
You're living in it.
So that happened. And then the taxi driver, the person was complaining. So the taxi driver got really angry. He took out a gun, shot the person. Up until it crashed. Faki bullet and tloko kesan.
In the head.
Taxi driver's not scared of no one, okay? Not scared of anyone.
Ah, that's insane, though.
It is. That's why I'm saying my people need to learn to control their anger. Because imagine, if you're depending in, like, God, we are now, but dim or wrong, I'm in the wrong, so now. I don't know, it's just crazy. And me, personally, when I drive, I try not to piss off the taxi drivers. Sana, he rules must be
And it's like, I've seen it in American TikTok videos where they were even followed because of road rage. People like crazy because of road rage. And for me, I remember this one time I'm in this Gassi Uber, is what I'm going to call it.
That is so crazy. I've never actually thought of saying Gassi Uber.
So I'm in the Gassi Uber, right? We're just chilling there. We're going up. And then he cuts off this guy. Oh, no. The one guy cuts him off, and then he complains. Same thing with the story you just explained. But then he says it in a rude, not even, but in an angry manner. But hi, bo, wenzani. Fine. We pass that guy by, and we go up the street. As we're going up the street, we see this car rushing towards us, overtakes us, rolls down his window, and is like, "What were you saying? What were you saying? What were you saying?" Like, he's ready to fight.
Were you not scared?
I was like, I wasn't scared, but I was just confused at the moment.
You could have died. Why were you not perplexed. Scared?
I wasn't going to die. The Lord got me. I still got some things to do, guys. It's very early in the game now. But then, I'm pretty sure that guy had a gun. Or at least...
some sort of weapon.
Aye, man. You don't just follow someone... And then ask like that. He was like determined to get out of the car. Yeah. He was crashing out like. And I think that was the thing. And me and the guy were just laughing about it. Just like, what? That's insane. Like, why are you? Hey, I think also having a gun, Jay, doesn't really help anybody. And that's the actual one of the reasons why crime is so high in South Africa, you know, because youth are both more likely to be victims and perpetrators of murders, but then it's because of how many guns there are in the streets, especially in PE. I cannot tell you how easy it is to get a gun in PE. We could take a 22 Rand taxi right now and would come back with a gun.
How much do guns go for?
It depends where you are.
Like,
guns go for... for as little as less as $100.
A gun. The one that shoots people.
The one that kills people.
Not a paintball gun.
Actual gun.
And those are illegal guns?
Yes.
No way.
I'm telling you. You just get a gun. Why do you think there's so many robberies? So many murders? You just go there. Yeah.
as simple as that.
I know this one story who is now a Ginza. This one classmate of mine who became a Ginza, he murdered a friend of ours. Stabbed him to death and then ran away from the community. Crazy work.
You've never seen him ever since?
I have. He lives nicely in another township. He just went 5 townships up and the cops were like, no, okay. That's what I mean. In South Africa,
I
can murder you.
No.
So basically what he did, to those who live in Summerstrand and unfamiliar with PE, he basically murdered someone here in Summerstrand, then went to go live in Walmer. That's all he did. Like, he's chilling in Walmer.
And the police didn't even do any...
No looking for him, nothing of that sort.
That is so crazy.
The story about him is that he went to go buy a gun. He had so many anger issues or whatever, or something hell was happening in his family. He went to go buy a gun in a certain place. When he gets to go buy a gun, he gets helped by these other guys. They're like, yeah, we can show you where to buy a gun. He buys the gun. And they're like, the gun doesn't have bullets. And they're like, don't worry. We'll show you where to get a bullet. They show him where to get the bullets and how to put the bullets on. They put the bullets in for him and they rob him. And they're like, hey, give me that rest of their money.
Not lie.
I swear.
Actually.
Bro. They help him get the gun and then rob him.
But my husband, Baza, Tata, Wabanika.
What's the chin?
Bamniki can yak your back.
Eh, why trot out where I go? Walked it. Come on, Niki can yak your back.
By Tatil.
That's the whole point. Imagine getting robbed with your old gun. But he was very young back then. Now he's a fully fledged Ginza and everything.
Like, that's just his lifestyle.
His lifestyle. Because guess what? The police didn't get him when he committed his first murder.
Exactly. So now he thinks it's normal to do such. Because exactly. Yeah, as by Manska, nothing's going to happen to me either way. I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
That is so... No, guys, I'm actually not happy about, you know, the service of the South African police services. Mm-hmm. It is so crazy.
That's the life we live in. So this is just a cry for consciousness to just make sure that everybody actually knows this stuff, and also to make sure that you as a youth, what are you doing? How are you dealing with your anger issues? How are you dealing with conflict resolution? We must make sure that people are okay. I think my co-host is very sick also, guys. I may have infected her with something. Are you okay, Zekaraba?
I wish there was like a camera here so you guys would see our moves, even our body language. Like, that would be so much. I actually want us to have like a video podcast, not only audio podcast, but like a video podcast as well, because you know, I want people to see us. I want the people to see that, you know. Also, and yes, man, like, I don't know, body language.
Let us take a jungle lady, yeah, like, guys. She puts her hand over her nose. Like, ha ha ha.
Yes, look. Yes. Hey, actually, speaking about insane. I used to have the most ugliest laugh ever. Like, ever. So I had to learn it the hard way.
I love
that
girls.
Thing is
yeah, I love girls with like the craziest titties. It's so attractive to me. When they do that thing.
That big thing. Yes.
I'm like, oh my goodness, what? And it always takes me by surprise because they try to hide it now.
But things like, yeah.
Like, that's so cute.
Yeah.
But moving on to international news.
Mm-hmm. I believe. Tell me if I'm wrong. I stand to be corrected.
Yeah.
But you want us to talk about the Madlanga Commission once more?
No.
Be honest.
Not today.
I know you.
Not today.
I know you.
Not today. I'm going to prove my haters wrong today, you know? I'm going to save it for next week because I'm still collecting some information.
If you guys know Wisanani, you know how much he loves the Madlanga Commission.
Because it's heating up thereby, guys.
He could talk about this every day of his life if he could.
You want me to give them like three little things that's happening there? Quick.
Okay, let's shoot.
Okay. So they did the ad hoc committee, right? In the ad hoc committee, I want us to like talk about what are some of the things that the committee has heard. So the ad hoc committee has been provided with minutes, emails, letters, and testimonies indicating that directive from Kone to disband the the political killings task team may have bypassed normal SAPS operation channels and may have been drafted or assisted by persons close to the minister. One series of revelations, Kwanazi claimed the minister's directive was irregular and bordered on breaking the law because it intruded on operational independence of South African police services. So basically, there was a task force that Kwanu was the head of as you guys know, to investigate political killings. But then, boom, Kwanu takes away that thing, and this is when Kwanu was saying, "I don't want to dive into this topic at all today because I want to bring it the smoke next week." Here's the thing, because the president needs to go answer. The president's name has been flying around there. Everybody says the president knows. Kutwa, the president was there. The president knows this. The president knows that I was this. Kwanu is basically claiming that he didn't disband the political killings on his own accord, but he actually spoke to the president about it. But he's also not saying that the president agreed. He's saying that I briefed the president about it. But it wasn't a long briefing. It was a briefing for about 2 minutes. How do you brief a president for 2 minutes about
something taking, so serious?
Exactly. Taking down a whole team, a whole task force. And when you're saying that I briefed the president for 2 minutes, mind you, remember, you saw those Ferraris where the Ferraris were looted.
Yeah, the Lamborghinis. Yeah, yes.
By
yes.
Masemula. Those are Masemulas. Whatchamacallit.
You don't lambda, like, is he a minister? What is he?
No. So he is a business mogul who actually stole close. He actually got a tender for 2 billion rand. And he took from that 2 billion rand and he didn't actually build a hospital that was supposed to be built in Tembisa. So people are dying in Tembisa. People are starving in Tembisa.
Just for Lamborghinis.
There's no medicines so that he could buy 9 Lamborghinis.
That is greed. That's the greed that we're talking about in the Bible. That is
you could
greed.
Buy 2 Lamborghinis. Why do you need 9 for and build the damn hospital?
Exactly.
It makes me so angry.
Oh, one. Why are you greedy? Like, actually, I'm just trying to think to myself that what is this person going to actually do with 9 Lamborghinis? Like, we were, and was that 10 Lamborghinis as in 9? And also, my question to you, Vuisan, if you have any intel, maybe, as Lamborghinis, did he, like, drive them? Because by the looks of things, they were just sitting in his backyard.
Kalogo, that's what rich people do. Actually, they drive them like once in a while, but then really it's for exhibition to say that I have it more than it is to actually do it.
9 is crazy though. That yeah. is great.
It's like that thing. One of my favorite artists, J. Cole, mentioned this. Is that like, why do you need 6 cars when I'm literally have to drive 1 per time?
Yeah.
Like, it's a matter of just not even just greed, but I think I'm gonna. Of deep insecurity also.
For sure.
Because why are you showing off? Why do you feel the need exactly. to do all of these things?
2 or 3 cars are enough.
Yeah, still at that.
Don't forget.
And that's not even the half of it. They took state-of-the-art equipment from his house. The artworks worth millions. Like, the pila lavish, man. On the compound, yeah. And one of the things, one of the shocking revelations, kule compound ahlala kuyo, bekuthathwe ividiyo. Xa uthathwe la video yakhe, ah man, kubani ulapha kule video? Guess who?
Who?
President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Ufuna, saying how hi is to he him. Involved?
Encokola naye.
Cupcakes, very fishy, my dog, very fishy, very fishy.
Did you see the girl that called Cupcake?
Son, I'm done. And it's my first time seeing the president. Hello, Cupcake. I was like, damn, yo, I chunga unesbin.
Was that disrespectful calling your whole president?
Chaos, man, but that's his name. I would have said to him, hi, Mr. Cupcake. Not in front of everyone.
Hi, Mr. Cupcake.
That's crazy. Utata na some Mike in Sanu girl. Hello, Cupcake.
Yeah, Kavile, no, I am on a car. I'm a little bit of a car. Yeah.
That is crazy.
So that's what's up. I want us to all guys just look into that. Look into this Madlanga Commission, guys, because it's going to affect us.
And also, you can also watch it on TikTok if Aungum do that, like news or reading or documentaries or anything of that sort. Can definitely watch TikTok if you've got a short attention span to get all the necessary information you need about our country. And everything that's happening. So, yes, on to the next. I believe that we are going to talk about the Gaza Peace Treaty. So, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but there has been something good happening in Gaza. For sure, you guys have seen it on your TikTok for you pages, your Instagram, your news also, your YouTubes. It's been flying around social media, you know. So a surprise attack by Hamas on Israel on the 7th of October 2023. Hamas, a Palestinian group that controls Gaza, launched a large-scale attack into southern Israel. They killed over 1,200 people and took more than 200 hostages. It was one of the deadliest days in Israeli history.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a quick question for you. So, obviously, you can hear that the Hamas,
which is what sparked this whole war.
That's where it
sparked. But it's been happening for decades and decades.
But now then, it's just that the world is knowing about it because it's getting more serious.
And the Hamas group and Israel actually have weapons now, so they actually just fully launching scales in each other. I'm sure you saw the missiles. I think we covered the story in the beginning of the year when the missiles were flying up in the air and just raining down. and then people were just getting murdered. Imagine you just standing there sharp, you're just talking, boom, a whole missile is coming down at you. It's like, what?
That's imagine. Crazy. So my question to you is, obviously the Hamas took more than 200 hostages. What do you think they did with those hostages? What exactly do you think happened, or where did they take those hostages?
You have to first ask, who are the hostages?
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
And the hostages, 80% of the time, is usually women and children. Ah. They take the children.
That's a very interesting POV. Mm-hmm. Mm.
They take the children, specifically a lot of young boys, so that they can indoctrinate them to their religion, to their way of fighting, to their faction. One, they take the young woman.
They do house chores and stuff like that for them, that side.
Exactly.
Wives, get new wives.
Exactly.
That is so crazy. That is so crazy. So after this deadly tragedy in Israel, Israel responded with a massive military operation in Gaza as well. You know, after the attack, Israel launched airstrikes and later a ground invasion of Gaza to destroy Hamas, rescue hostages and eliminate... rescue hostages, rather, and eliminate the group's military capabilities. Mm. This caused huge, huge, huge destruction in Gaza and led to humanitarian crisis. Thousands of civilians were killed or displaced.
And I really want us to take a deeper a cause behind this war, as I said. So the blockade of Gaza for over 15 years, Israel with Egypt has restricted movement in and out of Gaza, saying it's to stop weapons from reaching Hamas. Palestine say it's collective punishment, actually. Occupation, the reason why this thing is so prevalent is that it's kind of biblical also, is that there's a fighting of occupation and land dispute. Palestinians went their own... Palestinians want their own state, which is Palestine, with East Jerusalem as its capital. Israel's control much of the land Palestine claim, especially in the West Bank. No peace agreement. There hasn't ever been a peace agreement. There hasn't been a final peace deal right now or two-state solutions. Tensions may remain high and violence erupt regularly. So what really happens is that people are mad at Israel because when you call for a ceasefire, right? A ceasefire is when you stop fighting each other. But Israel continuously, time and time again, they don't stop when there's a ceasefire, and they actually go and attack the other country.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, like Israel has done this. So there's a ceasefire that's actually calling for like the two armies to fight against each other so that we can discuss Bahama, and this war is not really good.
So basically, low-key kind of wanting to make peace, low-key kind of wanting to surrender in a way. I never knew what a ceasefire is.
Yeah. So the deal is... So now they're trying to agree on a peace deal, but they're not really... they're not really communicating proper with each other. So, Karabo, what are the first phases of the deal?
Okay, so obviously an immediate ceasefire and troop redeployment by Israel to agreed lines, the release of hostages held by the Hamas in Gaza in exchange for release of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel, rapid and large-scale humanitarian aid access rather to Gaza, and return of displaced persons from the south of Gaza to other areas. And most importantly, Vuisanani, while not yet a fully comprehensive peace treaty resolving all issues, it sets out first steps towards de-escalation, reconstruction, governance, and longer-term settlement.
That is yes. So true. And, you know, we have to actually give credit where credit is due. The person who's pushing for all of this, for his vacation, yes, but still, a shout out to Donald Trump. He's the one who's out here talking to people on some, let's have a peace treaty, people. we don't want the children in Gaza to die
he
anymore.
Sounds like Donald actually.
I love it.
That guy, Joe Biden's like, he doesn't even remember what he ate yesterday.
Yeah, he doesn't even remember what he ate yesterday.
He's always dissing Biden.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So that's what's been happening in Gaza. You know, I really want us to also just take a moment again to just say, let's go do our research on these things that are happening. Because look at how many wars that they're happening in the world, Karabo. There's Nigeria, which is under attack. It has an internal civil war. There's Ukraine versus Russia. There's Gaza now and Palestine. And there's so many other wars that I'm forgetting to mention right now. But then you would think that these are isolated events. But really, when they come to play and they affect us all, they will affect us all. Do you think you're ready for a full-on scale World War III?
Never. No, I'll never be ready for a war, any kind of war. I don't care what type of war it is. Never. Number one, I'm speaking because I'm a South African citizen, right? So, I stand to be corrected. In my own understanding, never has South Africa been involved in a physical war, like a real war. Have we before in history?
Yes, we have.
Really?
We participated in the World War II. We've helped many countries, Gabon, Burkina Faso, in war up Africa.
I didn't know that. So our soldiers went up there and helped?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just continue. Also, I just feel like we're just going to die. Reasons being is because I remember sometime this year, some of our soldiers passed away because of lack of equipment, lack of weapons or something like that. I remember that it was trending on the news. I think it was Ngoku. Is Angie still Minister of South African
President
Defense Force?
Angie.
Acting president,
yeah, acting president.
Usayi, Minister of South African
Defense. Yes, yes, she is.
Okay, so Begu this year. That means Begu this year. Some of our soldiers actually passed away because of lack of
machinery.
Exactly. So, kama chonanjani anganganez weapons. Sizaw protecta kanjani. No, like actually, in all seriousness, sizawuthini, let's say, okay, the U.S. The U.S. military or the U.S. as a state and whole try to, for whatever reason, this is just an example, you know, it could be any country. So they come to us and they want war or we fight about something, right? We don't have equipment,
So we can't fight against any of the European countries.
We can't.
Yeah, we can't fight.
We'll die.
The only country you can't really fight is probably Egypt and Africa. All the other ones...
Why?
Military-wise, we can't fight against Egypt. Egypt has a very vast peoples, one. Very vast military control, very vast military power, personnel, equipment, all of those things.
That means we would
and
die.
And they have money, you know. We would... we would die if we... Okay, me, I'm very much into... the learning of war. I've studied it very much because I loved history.
Really?
Yeah, I love history. So I studied World War One, World War Two, World War Three. So it's like, in order to even like, what I've learned with war is that often what drives it is what the other person stands to benefit. So, if Egypt has a problem with another country, has an enemy. Of my enemy is what? Is my friend. Is my friend.
No.
Yeah.
An enemy of my enemy.
Enemy is my friend.
Oh, an enemy. An enemy of my friend is my enemy.
Of my enemy is my friend. Because if there's someone who has a problem with Egypt, then I am going to partner with who? With that problem of Egypt. Mm. That's the only way we can defeat that person
because now you are unity.
See, unity. This is what people always do. bexabana aba last week
but go kehleko
kudijole ngabo. So that's I wouldn't want us to go into war, but if we did, let's go, man.
Never.
Let's just do it. Let's just do it. It is what it is. It is. But you know that South Africa is one of the it's the only country that blew up their own nuclear missiles. Jacob Zuma in 2012 was like, nah, let's go to Bulawayo missiles. So we don't have any nuclear.
Aren't those expensive?
Yes, we don't have any nuclear defense forces now.
Why is that?
Because we were trying to be a peaceful place.
But what if something happens, then we need it? President.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's very funny. So why are we telling you about this? Why is it important? Why is the deal so important? This deal is significant for several reasons. Humanitarian relief. The war in Gaza has caused massive casualties, displacement, destruction of infrastructure, and dire humanitarian personnel being displaced. A ceasefire plus aid access offers a chance to alleviate some of that suffering. As noted by South Africa's statement, these developments towards peace have the potential to alleviate profound human suffering and build much needed confidence. This is the dream of Abu Dada Mandela, so that people can actually strive towards peace. The rebuild and return of displaced persons are part of this deal. De-escalation and reducing risk of wider conflict. The Gaza conflict has regional implications, spillover into neighboring states, involvement of external actors. A stable agreement reduces a risk of escalation into a larger regional war. And then structural or political significance of this deal is that while the ceasefire is one thing, embedding political process elements, governance, prisoner changes, rights, prisoner rights, reconstructions, moves towards a more sustainable settlement rather than a temporary pause. You know what I mean? We actually want this war to actually end. We don't want war. Kids are dying, guys. Kids are actually dying.
Abantwana that still have a bright, bright future ahead of them.
And you know what I heard is that like this soldier was saying that a lot of us complain about the life that we have, and I always think about this quote when I'm going through the most difficult things. And I'm like, he says that while he was over in Afghanistan, mothers were taking their little babies because of the war that's happening where they left. They took their babies and they threw them over the wall, hoping that someone would catch their babies and go with them. Because it's so horrendous what's happening there. So they just throw them.
And just hope whoever catches the baby catches.
And just hope.
That is so, that's so sad.
Some of the babies get caught up in the barbed wire and they die. That's the result of war. That's why we don't want war.
Okay, that is actually so somber and sad.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to bring into light, guys, the need for us to actually to not take this Gaza-Palestine thing lightly. Actually be social media activists. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're not physically there, but then we can make our voices heard. And I say this over and over again.
And there are petitions that people can sign. It will literally take 2 minutes of your time. Sign that petition, you know, help out, you know, because we're brothers and sisters at the end of the day, people. We're all human. We all have equal human rights. Yeah, bo. And, you know, it's really sad. You know, after you just told me about how mothers actually throw their kids over the wall and just hope someone catches them and gives them a great life, it's actually so sad.
Mm-hmm.
That is so sad.
Such is life. Such is life. So, yeah, I think that's all on my side, Karabo. Do you have anything else to tell the viewers? On your side, maybe some light information, some encouragement for these exams.
My good people. So obviously we are heading into exam season shortly, and I'm not gonna lie and say others have it easier than others. You know, we're all going through it equally. So, but I want to give you my best. I want to send you guys my best wishes for your final examinations. Just take it easy on yourself. This is my study method. If I feel like information I gain, because obviously there's those times whereby information I gain, take a break. Taking a break never killed any. The more you force yourself, the more you ngazongen. You know, speaking from a psychology's POV, a psychology student's POV, I do psychology, so I know these stuff. You know, you have to rest your brain, people. You have to rest your brain by all means. As much as you have to study, you have to equally rest your brain as well. And just take it one day at a time. Don't rush yourself, you know. And also, sleep is very important, people. Sleep is very important. I do not advise cross-nighting at all before an exam. It is very dangerous. It's not going to kill you, but it's very dangerous for your mental health. I do not advise cross-nighting at all. Sleep as much as you can. Get enough rest as much as you can. The more you sleep, the more energized your brain gets. Sleep. Wake up, study, then you're good to go. Uh-huh. I promise you, you know. But yeah, all the best for your final examinations, my good people. And yes, Wisanani, what would you like to tell our listeners?
We're like basically just like 12 days away from exams. What we need to focus on is having the right study methods. And as you said, me, I use the Pomodoro technique. So basically, I study for 25 minutes, take a break for 10, study for 25 minutes, take a break for 5, study for 25 minutes, take a break for 7. So have a proper technique in which you are actually approaching your studying.
Whichever technique works best
works
for you.
Works for you. And then also just remind yourself of why you're here.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
Reminding yourself of what your purpose is, of what your dream is, motivates you.
Mm.
Not even motivates you, but it awakens you to the reality that, hey, listen, this is not even about you, but it's the people I left back at home. I know most of us, we don't come from the poshest families or anything like that, but then we have a purpose and why we're here. Some of us are the hope of why we're here. We are the hope of our families. We're carrying the life for our families. So remember that. Don't let it pressurize you, but let it be your motivator, though. And just, I'm not even going to say good luck. You don't need good luck. You need to work hard.
Exactly.
And be blessed, because God is with you in everything. And just move forward. I think that's it on my side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we have reached the end of our episode today. Yeah, so sad, I know.
Four more episodes to go, guys.
This is...
if not three.
Yeah, I think this is the... this is the fourth, and then we have three more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think we're kind of concluding. I've reached the last bits of our episodes. And, of course, you were connected to Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform, and...
definitely engage.
Period.
Yeah, as from Chatanam, guys, not engage like chat.
Oh, my gosh. No one even thought that.
You don't know my inbox. You don't know my inbox. I want to be a sugar lover.
Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding. I'm sure they slide in your inboxes too.
No, I don't really look at my inboxes. I'm very busy.
Yeah, but okay, guys.
Generally
speaking. If you want her number, guys, this is her number. 083-745-66-277. I'm kidding, guys. Imagine. People just give out your number. You get calls from random strangers like,
hey, baby.
Can I take you out?
Johnny. Yeah, baby girl.
What's the worst thing a guy has said trying? What's the best and the worst thing a guy has said trying to
raise
you
up? I'm only going to say the worst.
I know.
No.
Am I only focusing on the bad?
No, man. But Kobane Zando's cringe. So, ba, okay, it's a pelicha can you tell? Zando, okay, it's a pelicha can you tell?
But it got you, though.
No, it didn't. The fuck?
Ha ha ha! Shout out to our producer who's going to bleep that out. Okay, it's a very shaggy. Okay, it's a very shaggy. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just laughing because she just cursed live on air. And it's so funny because why? Because men are just stupid. That's why she's cursing out here.
Genuine mistake.
Yeah, that's good.
Genuine mistake. Genuine mistake.
It's calm. So, what is the worst thing? We need to go back to the topic.
No, I don't even want to go back. I just want to cry. I don't even want to go back.
What actually happened? What did
you do? I can't
get into it. I can't get into it.
No. I can't get into it because I was like, I was cringed out. Actually, I got the egg. I was like,
when was this?
It was 2 years ago.
A grown person is saying this. About
yes. And I'm like, hello?
Yeah.
Gwena.
The worst?
Mm.
Ah, the worst. Yo. Yo, I think recently, it wasn't even the situation. I was with an ex-girlfriend and an ex-talking stage and whatnot. And we're in that situation and that person goes to that ex-situation, talking stage. And she's like, yo, you know, the first time I saw Visanani, I knew that I want him to put babies in me. She says this to the person that I'm talking to at the moment, but she doesn't know that here. And then that person is like, it makes it seem like I know her. And I'm like, she said that. I'm like, what?
Actually,
I don't know nothing about that. But it was a pretty funny situation because I couldn't believe that someone could actually say, bah, I want you to put babies in me. It's a crazy pickup line. And that's another thing I've heard about. That I've noticed about you girls, you guys don't have proper pickup lines. It's
really?
Either so hypersexual or they're just boring. There's no in between for you guys. You have to choose. It's either a boring pickup line or you're so hypersexual.
I think that's how girls, most girls, let me not speak for all girls, and I'm not even speaking on behalf of myself actually, but from what I've seen, when girls are trying to get to guys, they tend to be very sexual.
Do you have reason?
No, not at all. If I have a crush, back in high school, if I had like a crush or something, I would just make sure they feel my presence and I'm seen. I would never go up to them on some kind of please have your number. No. I would just make sure they feel my presence.
You know, I actually like those confident girls. They are like, listen, hi, can I have your number? It's like, okay, girl, you trusted yourself that much that you want my number. No. Get away from me. Fire. Run. Run. Baleka mzalwane. That's the song I'm singing right now.
Baleka.
Yeah. Baleka.
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 Kenya Ozombini. And that's what we're doing right now, guys. We are running to our books.
Yes.
I hope you guys have a blessed week, blessed exams. Go to the beach, go to Steers, go to KFC, go to McDonald's, grab an ice cream. Mm-hmm. Get 10 rand. Put down the beers. I know you guys are like, it's the last week of the party. We're going to groove before them. Yo, the groove they're going to groove this weekend. I'm so terrified. I think I'm going to stay inside the house. I don't even want to see the things that they're going to get up to.
But no judging them. Like, it's all love from the side. You guys enjoy. But stay safe.
Stay safe.
You guys know how Kabeja is. You know everything that's been happening. I'm assuming that everyone must know.
Everyone does.
So please, guys, keep an eye on yourselves. Keep an eye on your friends. Stay safe out there.
All right. We love you guys. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Karabonsewane Daniels.
Mm-hmm. A very beautiful Karabwe. That. Let's have peace among us. And peace out, guys. We love you. Peace
out.
The best youth station in the Bay. Mativa's Radio.
Sleep? What's that? If late night scrolling has you staring at the ceiling, try Really Calm Night. A calming combo that improves sleep quality and helps you sleep for longer. To wake up feeling refreshed. No sleepless nights, just good mornings. really calm night. Sleep well. Live well. Sipler. Caring for life.